Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country, 2 minutes at a time, for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now. Sorin Petro with you as we make our way through a very busy Friday. Our 2 minute drill is coming up next. It's brought to you by my friends at Twin Peaks, twinpeaksrestaurant.com. If you want to check them out online, put in an order for some curbside to take it home. You know, the entire menu made from scratch. They're wonderful burgers. They're incredible wings. Get them right now. If game time is going to be at your house, just get by Twin Peaks. Get it to go. The wonderful Twin Peaks girls will be happy to bring your order out to you. You can take it home. But, of course, the doors are open, adhering to all the protocols. So have some patience. The seating capacity is not what it was, but it is still the best place with the best views of TVs. In the city to watch a game. You've got Major League Baseball playoffs getting started here soon. College and pro football all weekend long. Twin Peaks Restaurant. Go see them in Independence and Olathe. Find them online at twinpeaks.com. Eats, drinks, scenic views. We start things off in Cleveland, Ohio with Munch Bishop, 1100 WTAM in Cleveland. Munch, how are you, my friend?
Brother, I am superb, but you're making me hungry, dude. Come on.
I do what I can, man. All I am is the messenger. You got to get mad at Twin Peaks for having such a great menu. That's not on me, my friend. Not on me.
But
one of the games that people might want to check out is the Browns and Steelers. It might be the best game of the weekend. Did you expect this game to be as big as it's going to be? One, from a Cleveland perspective, that they would be playing at this level, but also a Pittsburgh perspective, that they are now up at the top of the division.
Well, number one, you always expect the Steelers to be there, especially when they are your so-called rivals. Number two, for the Browns, I didn't know what to think this year. Kevin Stefanski, just five games in, has made a believer out of me. Why? Not just because they're winning, because he's doing the right things. You know what else, Sorin? The team is finally being run by adults. You know, I got to shed a few pounds. The last year around this time, you had Fat Freddie Kitchens wearing a T-shirt saying Pittsburgh started, and it's like, my God, you know, enough of this nonsense. There is some discipline on the team to a point. I realize that these are highly paid multimillionaire divas. But I'm telling you this, it's going to be a tougher road to hoe. Just for you, my friend, and that this comes from players I talked to. Number one, Baker Mayfield had not thrown a pass all week until today. In fact, you know, they wear the don't-touch jersey. He was wearing a walk-through jersey all week, which tells you what. Don't even get close to him. Don't even breathe on him. You know about Odell Beckham being sent home. No COVID, but it looks like some type of cold flu. But also yesterday, Jarvis Landry, Kevin Johnson, the DB, and Carl Joseph, the safety, the weakest part of the team, they were also sent home. You've got a few little injuries on the offensive line. You got a former Steeler, Chris Hubbard, filling in at right guard. So right now, especially if OBJ can't make it because he's flashing some signs of greatness, it's going to make it real, real tough. And the boot, the best running back in the NFL is out of action again with Nick Chubb.
Yeah, again, the cracked or broken ribs with Baker Mayfield, what we're talking about there, and OBJ. The fear was that it would be COVID, but the tests have come back negative, so some other kind of bug that he's dealing with, and we'll see if the Browns are at full strength. How about Kareem Hunt? We know what he's doing on the field. You mentioned Nick Chubb being out. He's now got to be the guy. How has he been in the locker room and off the field so far this year?
You know, Kareem has been good until this week. You know, one of the most stupidest things I've ever heard. Is that proper English? Was when he
sure.
said, well, we got Myles Garrett's back. Well, why would you get his back? He's the one who attacked the Steeler with a weapon, and this is from a guy who viciously assaulted a woman. You know, it's just shut up and play. He's been good until then. I actually felt he's been trying until then. I'm not his favorite because every time he scores a touchdown after the game, I ask him how much money he's donated to a battered women's shoulder, and then he goes to the next question. But the bottom line is, on the field, he's performing. He doesn't have a groin injury, and you can tell that he's not running as hard. But, Sorin, I'll say this again. I may not like him personally, but I'm not a fool that when indeed he plays the game of football, he may be the best pure wide receiver on this team. And we got a couple the way he catches the ball. But his explosiveness, has been down the last week with that groin injury.
All right, we haven't talked to you since the Indians wrapped up their season. What's the percentage chance Francisco Lindor is back in Cleveland?
Next to none, my friend. You know, it's a dang shame. He wants $40 million a year for 10 years. There's no doubt, cut and dry. What would the low end be? We'll sign for 1 year at whatever the rate would be with his contract, and like a Mookie Betts, then extend it. I've got to say this. I've got a man crush on Mookie Betts when it comes to baseball. Hitting 130, okay, so far in the postseason. Bellinger hitting 118. Someone is still going to grab Francisco, and I hate to say this, but, you know, if you're to get rid of him, you got to do it before the season starts, and you're still only going to get pennies on the dollar, just like the Red Sox did with Mookie Betts. He really has not, he's disappointed in the postseason once again. And, you know, what can you say? Is he a great player? He's going to go and turn around and have a great, great career somewhere else. And it's a damn shame baseball doesn't do anything to correct that.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Big Ten, what, a week from this weekend, going to be up and running. Is there any reports on how the teams are doing, particularly the one in your neck of the woods, the Ohio State Buckeyes, as far as battling, you know, keeping everybody away from the COVID?
I mean, the one that I'm a homer, honk, and shill for, my alma mater, this is much as alma mater, two kids' alma mater. Yes, the Ohio State Buckeyes are doing a real, real nice job. You know, they're going to have a few people in the stadium, maybe 20,000. It's going to be dwarfed and 107,000. But, Trent, I'll tell you something. This is before all this stuff came down. This is a national-caliber championship team. You have two linemen now on the line, center and guard, who can play pros today. You have a quarterback who can lock anybody down, and you have a quarterback, which is usually not the case with Ohio State, and I do believe he's going to look better than Mr. Haskins has in the pros, that is ready to go. I'm going to say this, though, too. When it comes time to choose those Final Four teams for the college football playoffs, you know, Pac-12 team isn't going to be in there. Texas or none of those teams are going to be in there. They don't know what the word defense is. I look for the Buckeyes to be there. I look for perhaps two SEC teams or an SEC and ACC team. And, brother, I'm looking for a fourth team out of the power conferences. Watch BYU this weekend. It very well, they could be the team.
Yeah, okay. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. Munch Bishop in Cleveland, you're the man. We appreciate it, buddy. Have a great weekend and stay safe.
Brother, I appreciate you. And once again, Kansas City's lucky to have the show on. I know you're a big part of the community, and I treasure being part of great radio.
Mark Carman, fan-sided, and WGN in Chicago, Illinois, is next. Mark, how are you, sir?
Sirin, I also treasure good radio and being on this program, the program. Thank you for having me, my friend.
We appreciate it, man. It's always always great to have you here, Mark, our tennis insider in Chicago, the man with his pulse on the finger of Chicago. And let's start with the managerial choice. Is it Grandpa La Russa, 76 years old, or is it one of the cheaters, A.J. Hinch or Cora?
So I think it's very interesting, Sirin, that White Sox fans are just outraged that the White Sox and owner Jerry Reinsdorf seemingly specifically would consider Tony La Russa because he's 76 years old. And I get it, Sirin. It's a young man's game and all that stuff. But, like, where does Tony La Russa rank all time in the history of managers? I don't know. Pretty close to the damn top, right? So it's not like they're just bringing in some guy who doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe he's passed and maybe he isn't. I would bet that Tony La Russa could still figure it out. And Sox fans are just clamoring for the guy who cheated to win a World Series. I find it amazing. I get that maybe perhaps neither is the perfect choice, but I still think it's going to be A.J. Hinch, Sirin. But, you know, this Tony thing caught a lot of people off guard, myself included. But, you know, they wouldn't have asked for permission to meet with him if there wasn't something going on there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think A.J. Hinch is the choice out of the candidates they've gotten. I think he might be the choice, period. I mean, I think he's an excellent manager. So, I think they'll be in good hands if they get A.J. Hinch. Of course, former Kansas City Royal A.J. Hinch. Chicago Bears are 4-1. How surprised are you that they are 4-1?
The word would be extremely surprised if you told me that the games would go this way, that they were going to make a quarterback change within the first 5 weeks of the season, that the defense would be intermittently dominant. That might be the best word I've ever used on radio. That, you know, I would not think they'd be 4-1. Now, they've obviously pulled out some games that they very well should not have in Detroit and Atlanta specifically, and I guess even Tampa Bay, too. You're down 13-0 to the Bucs. Granted, it's the first half, but they got a huge, I thought, call on the Kyle Fuller hit where, that to me, that's a drop all day in the spirit of the law, but they called it a catch and a fumble, and it gave the Bears another touchdown right before the half. That was a huge benefit last Thursday night. So I am surprised, but I do think there's some reason for optimism just with Nick Foles getting better as the season goes along and he gets more on page with the head coach, Matt Nagy. So I think there is reason for optimism, but I at the same time surprised they're 4-1.
Yeah, I mean, they're really, let's be honest, they're winning in spite of him right now. He made some plays down the stretch, and I'm not a Nick Foles hater. I like the guy. I'm rooting for him. I like Matt Nagy. When I was a kid, the Bears, Walter Payton was my guy, so I always got a soft spot in my heart for the Bears. But it has not clicked for him yet, and it has not clicked in the running game. They were said to be, at least early on, one of the teams interested in Le'Veon Bell. Why can't they run the ball better?
So 63 yards the last two games. Now, you're going up against two very good run defenses. You know, Tampa Bay's top of the NFL, so that's part of it. But the bigger issue is that offensive line, they never have really addressed it, and you're dealing with marginal talent up front, plus the fact, bro, in that Matt Nagy, at his core, does not want to run the football. He'll say that it's important to run the football, but it's not really what he wants to do. He wants to show you that he's an offensive guru, and handing it off is just not his thing. So you got a little combination going. I think David Montgomery, the running back, you know, at Iowa State, that I'm sure a lot of people remember, he's got talent, Seren. I like him. He's not a star, but the running back is the least of their issues.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'll take your word for it that that's the case. All right, so here moving forward, 4-1, you mentioned that you are shocked. What do you think the rest of the season ends up being?
I mean, when I go through the Bears' schedule, I get to 10-6 pretty easily. I think they're a playoff team. I think that, you know, they should beat Carolina this week, even though the Panthers are a surprising 3-2. They get Detroit again. There are some, you know, they still have to play Green Bay twice and all of that. But I when you go through the Bears' schedule, which I don't have in front of me nor memorized, which I probably should, Seren, as a Chicago guy here, but it's hard to, like, to really go through it and not have them at least winning 10 games.
I think you've got a stretch. Like, I think, like, right now they're entering what I think is a salty stretch. At Carolina, at the Rams, Saints at home, at the Titans, right? Then they get Vikings at home. Mm-hmm. At the Packers will be tough. Lions at home, Texans is home. At Vikings, at Jags, home for Packers. So I think it eases up. But these next four are going to test them. Like, if they come out 6-3, I'd be real happy if I were a and maybe even if you go the next five, if they could go 3-2, you're 7-3 is phenomenal. But even if they're sitting at just 6-4, I think they're in a good spot because then it does hit the run of games that they ought to be able to win. You know,
right.
So.
Right. The back end gets very, very winnable. Listen, I think they're going to win this week. If they don't, then I'll start looking, oh, man, they look like it. I'll probably completely flip when you talk next. They're at best a 9-7 team, Seren. I'll have a meltdown. But I think I do think they beat Carolina.
All right. 3-2 Carolina now, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Just to keep in mind.
Teddy's rolling. I got it. Matt Rhule's the greatest hire in the history of coaching. Carolina's playing good football. It's hard to throw the ball against Carolina. The Bears don't pass particularly well. All of a sudden, is the running game going to appear? They could lose. They very well could lose.
It sounds to me like you're playing the woe is me card because you love the Bears.
I have the fan hat on, Seren. It's true. You have sniffed that one out well. I don't have it on like I have it on wanting to scream at Isaiah Thomas on Twitter today. He was talking nonsense about Michael Jordan, but I still have it on.
Yeah, okay.
Isaiah Thomas is out of his mind.
Mark Carmen says, Bears plus 3, get rid of those points. Don't need them. Play it on the money line. Bears outright. It's the Mark Carmen lock of the week, so take it to your bookie right now. Mark, always great talking to you, buddy. Stay healthy, stay safe. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Seren. Be well.
I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans.
And Gus Kattengill, ESPN 100.5 in New Orleans, Louisiana, is next. Gus, how are you, sir?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
Doing very well. Let's talk a little NBA real quick. First, Stan Van Gundy to the Pelicans. This is the conversation. Do you like this idea?
I tell you, a lot of Pelican fans are kind of, I wouldn't even say warming up to the idea. I think they like it. I think they like it on a number of reasons and levels. And in the people that I've talked to that cover the team or just the NBA, it seems to, you know, a fit. And a fit is so important, obviously, especially in the NBA at that position as well. Look, David Griffin, vice president of, you know, basketball operations here, he runs the show. He's going to want to have a say. So a coach that probably wants more power than the front office probably wouldn't fit here. Somebody that works with them probably does. Somebody that probably understands a young team, how to develop, has worked with the big before. And I think his time with Dwight Howard and surrounding him with three-point shooters, which I know the pace and the three-point shot is something that David Griffin really believes in, it seems like to be like a right fit. And I think as you understand in today's day and age with the NBA player, being able to relate to them and understand where they come from, where they feel like you're an ally and all of that, Stan Van Gundy, who he is as a person, I think really fits with today's NBA and the young players. Look, this team needs leadership more than anything else. J.J. Redick, who worked with him in Orlando, was very open, saying this is the quietest team plane he's ever been on. No one talks. No one. It's not that it's not a bad place. It's just very. It's very quiet. It's not very talkative. No one really wants to get in anyone's face. So to have somebody that can challenge young players, get them to play defense, get them to challenge one another and pick up their game, and more importantly, have, I think, a big enough personality to understand that this is going to be a different team and how it's viewed with a Zion Williamson. You're going to have different media coverage. A win is going to be talked about bigger, and a loss is going to be talked about bigger than probably normal teams that don't have a guy like Zion. So I just think he kind of fits a lot of the boxes that you would check, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and hopefully that is what they need to put the final pieces of the puzzle together, because mm-hmm. I know Pelican fans are great fans for that team. Let's talk about the Saints. At 3-2 and sitting in a big three-way tie at the top of the division, are you bullish on the team right now, or are you seeing warts, particularly with Michael Thomas and being suspended for disciplinary reasons, punching a teammate? Mm-hmm. Now stories coming out that he's kind of been difficult all along. Where do you sit with this team right now at 3-2?
I think it's a team that I go back to a tweet that I had in the first quarter of the game. It just comes across as a team that's pressing. And Soren, you've covered sports long enough. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? I mean, look at that interception with Drew Brees, and it's like trying to make a little something out of that that's not there. And there's so many instances. I'm taking screenshots of the TV of, hey, there are plays there that he's not pulling the trigger on. Maybe he's a little afraid to have that turnover, a little afraid to turn the ball over, trying to be a little too safe. And that's just it seems like it's a team that's thinking out there, rather than just playing freely. And look, you heard it after the game. I mean, Alvin Kamara is like, look, we got to fix ourselves. That's on Drew. It's on me. It's everything. Quicker start. For them to come out as flat as they did. The fact that Jared Cook, Emmanuel Sanders, Alvin Kamara, after the game, talked about energy and needing to try to create their own energy. And I don't think it's coincidence a day later, they go to Baton Rouge to try to force the mayor of New Orleans to let them play with some fans. And they've had a Twitter war all week. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's been hilarious from our standpoint. She came out and said, have at it at Baton Rouge. I'm not allowing anybody, because in the NFL there's no indoor enclosed stadiums with fans. The Saints came out yesterday on Twitter and detailed by the week the games that actually did have enclosed stadiums. So they're going back and forth in the Twitter war. It's just a weird, weird thing. I think the expectation levels when you have Armstead, Breeze, literally say, I'm only back to win a Super Bowl, and multiple players say that. I think when things don't go the way you think they're supposed to, people press. And that's what a team looks like to me. They press on defense. They press on offense. They have the talent. They're just not playing freely for some reason.
Speaking of pressing, how about this, the LSU Tigers defense? Bo Pelini, Reports that Ed Orgeron's telling him to simplify things. Does this thing end up working in the long run, or is this like, okay, we gave it a shot, now we're moving on?
Yeah, you know, you go back to a couple of D coordinators ago, and that was kind of part of the issue when he first took the job at LSU. The complaint was that he meddled or got involved too much with coordinators. And after that, he's like, look, you offense, your defense, you do it, and I'm going to let you go and coach. I think it's a mixture of, yes, you have players that have been recruited to play a certain way. Now you're playing a different style of defense. And in talking to former LSU defensive players, they're now part of the media, and one actually played with Bo Pelini. This is more of a front seven style defense as opposed to a defensive back style defense where they can kind of go and eat. Well, if you don't have those kind of players that get pressure, it's going to be hard on those defensive backs. And Soren, here's the other reality of this, which is why I'm calling it what should be a stress-free season for LSU fans. Maybe those guys just – I get the whole next man up mentality. Everyone loves to throw it out there. But the next man up may not be an NFL cornerback. I mean, you know, so
– right.
Because you – I mean, 19 of 22 starters, 14 to the NFL, maybe you just don't have the same team or depth. So – look, I mean, it's an issue, you know, for sure. But when you have two players staring at one another, that's the other aspect of it. Like I said this week, the onus is on the players too. Are they memorizing it? Are they understanding it? Are you learning? Are you putting in the time? I don't understand how two players stare at one another and somebody runs right by them. So, you know, again, you can blame the coaches. At the end of the day, I guess the coaches' philosophy and plan and play calls are an issue. But I mean, the players have got to know the plays and know what they're doing, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And Bo Pelini's been a controversial figure everywhere he's gone. No shock that it's followed him here. Doesn't mean it won't work here, but no shock that there's a little controversy around Bo Pelini now down there in Baton Rouge. Gus Kattengill in New Orleans, always great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Stay healthy. Have yourself a great weekend.
Yeah, you too as well, man. Have a good weekend.
Local talk plus national headlines from the people who are there. The 2-Minute Drill on the program with Seren Petro on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
He was there for Montana Magic at Arrowhead.
Back to pass, Montana. Cocks his arm. Looks right. No one there. Looks left. Throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Yeah! Joe Montana has done it again!
He was there for the drought breaker in Houston.
Niles Davis starts the play.
And he was there for everything in between.
And it's crazy. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. It's a terrific grace, ladies and gentlemen, of the humanity.
No one knows the Chiefs better. He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
That's right. Adam Teicher from ESPN.com is with us. You can check out his great Chiefs coverage there. He's brought to you by my friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Brogdon is at I-35 in Santa Fe, the number one Buick dealer in the country, the number one volume GMC dealer in the metro. That's Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Great selection right now. Best customer service you're going to find anywhere. Nobody will take care of you the way they do at Brogdon. I bought my last six vehicles and counting at Brogdon. The program's bought, I think it's either 16 or 17. I got to go write it down. How many vehicles between us, everyone who's been on the show, and then all the guys that work with us in sales that have bought out at Brogdon. You can go check them out right now online at robertbrogdon.com. Big sale going on, and they've got the 2021 GMC Yukon and Yukon XLs now in stock. And, of course, great savings on the 2020 GMC Sierras and Yukons as well. Great, great selection. Great customer service. Nobody will take care of you the way my guys and gals at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC do. Great selection of vehicles. Nobody has a better selection of vehicles. Great value for your business. You will love it. Nobody does a better job on your trade. Nobody does a better job of getting you financed. And nobody does a better job of the whole car buying process than Brogdon. That's why they're number one. Number one in our heart is Adam Teicher. He joins us here on our T-Mobile guest line. Adam, how are you, sir?
Good, Trent. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Doing very well. Le'Veon Bell is a Chief. That means what, in your opinion?
I'm interested to see what it means. You know, I think the first order of business is to find out whether he can still be the guy he was in Pittsburgh a few years ago. Remember, his last real big season came in 2017, so it's been 3 years now. Or whether he's the player he was last year with the Jets when he rushed for, you know, a little more than 3 yards a carry and it's kind of disappointing. So, you know, you can lose it real quick at that position. So I want to see what he's got left. So to me, while I applaud the Chiefs for getting this done because this has the potential to help them, I really think, I can't tell you that it will. You know, I do like the move, though. And think it really could be a kind of a Terrell Suggs type thing, a thing that gives the Chiefs a shot in the arm and gives them a boost to where they want to go.
I like the move as well. If nothing else, one of the things it does is keep them away from the Buffalo Bills. And that's a team that you're battling with right now. You don't need the Bills to be any better than they already are. So I think that's an important part of the equation is for them to just be better than the Bills so they keep him. What do you think about the combination of his running style with the Chiefs' blocking scheme and how they block? I mean, you know, him at his best is that kind of tiptoe, hip-hop, wait for the hole to open and then explode. The Chiefs have had a tough time with some of the blocking, and I know there's a lot of bad run grades next to Chiefs offensive linemen on their page on Pro Football Focus. How does that fit together?
Yeah, that's another thing we're going to have to see, and maybe he's going to have to change his style. You know, I feel like he's going to help him as a receiver also. So, I mean, certainly they're going to hand him the ball as well, so that is an issue. But I feel like the receiver's where he may wind up having his biggest impact.
Can he be Damian Williams?
Yeah, I think he can. You know, that's almost the first thing I think of when I hear of a back coming to the Chiefs is, okay, how's he going to fit in the passing game, you know? And I feel like maybe that's where guys can have a bigger impact. And I do think he can do some of those things and be that kind of guy for the Chiefs. I do.
Why do you suppose you've mentioned the passing a couple of times, and I've been surprised that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has not been a bigger part of the passing game. Why do you think that is?
You know, I can't say because you watched him, and I watched him in camp, and I said, "Wow, this guy's going to have a bigger impact in the passing game as a receiver than as a runner." And I've been wrong on that so far. So I really don't have a good guess for you. But you know, we saw a guy who in camp who was running good routes and had good hands and was beating coverage and making guys miss in the open field. That was the guy we saw in camp, and we haven't seen it yet. I'm not giving up on it, though. I do think before the season's over, he'll help the Chiefs as a receiver as well.
I saw a stat like he was being hit the second shortest of the goal of the line of scrimmage. In other words, basically he had the second worst blocking. Of any running back that, you know, was qualifying for the rushing title so far. I mean, you know, that's you know, too bad Le'Veon Bell's not a all-pro guard, right? Like, I mean, that's probably more their need, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I look at the depth as well at running back, and what if something happened to Edwards-Helaire? Then what do? You know, you're kind of going into some wishful thinking territory with guys like Darwin Thompson and Darrell Williams and DeAndre Washington, as far as, okay, this guy can be our featured back over a long stretch of games. You don't know that. I mean, you're guessing a little bit there because guys have never done it. So, you know, at least the Chiefs now have a second guy who has done it before. Now, again, whether he's the guy he was with the Steelers or not, we'll have to find out. That's, you know, I feel like has to be job one for the Chiefs, find out exactly what they have here.
And I'm not trying to run down the signing of Le'Veon Bell. There isn't an all-pro guard available. Yeah. He's an all-pro running back. That's what was available, so they grab him. But if Le'Veon Bell comes in, I mean, listen, if he doesn't run well, you can be like, okay, he's done. He proved he was done with the Jets the year off. He hasn't come back from it. He hasn't been able to knock the rust off. But there's also the aspect that I like, and I know nobody wants to talk about it, and Andy Reid talked about scheming around it. you know, they've looked outmatched a couple of times. And I like defensively, you know, I think both on offense and defense, you know, the other coaching staff got the better of them. Not that the Chiefs were awful. They lost 40-32, not 40-6. Okay, so it was not a pantsing. But I think you'd say, hey, advantage, and I think the Chiefs coaching staff would admit this, advantage Raiders on both sides of the ball. That being said, the offensive line's the one spot where I see guys just being physically beaten. And that's concerning because Reed can talk about scheming it, like if he means chipping and more quick hitters and those kind of things. Okay, yes, there are things he can do to help, but particularly at the tackle spot, they were really dominant, and they're still good there overall. We're just Mitchell Schwartz has been so good. We've been spoiled, like thinking that every offensive lineman never, ever, ever gets beat, because that's what Mitchell Schwartz has been. But he's been beat a couple of times, and they weren't particularly strong guard to guard last year. Now, when you're not as good on the tackles, that's when Mahomes ends up starting to have to bail out, and he's bailing out a lot.
Yeah, he is, and you know, that's kind of been the common thread with all these prolonged slumps on offense they've had during games. You know, the first three or so quarters against the Chargers, and the first mostly the first three quarters against the Patriots, and then the second half against the Raiders, is teams are really doing a great job getting pressure on Mahomes without blitzing. I mean, he's being pressured on 35% of the time when a team sends four or fewer pass rushers. That's unacceptable. That's second highest in the league, or it was going into Monday night's game. Justin Herbert was right behind him as far as the most. He was like 36%, so it was close. So that's too much. The Chiefs have to figure that out. And, yeah, you know, the guys are getting beat on the offensive line, but that's not a consistent thing. I mean, they're not getting beat on all of these plays. I think some of it's on Mahomes. You know, we talked before about him drifting in the pocket, and, you know, there's some times I felt like where the pocket was there, he could have stepped up into the pocket and had time to make a play. So he's got to be better at that part of it too, you know. But it's hard to see the Chiefs getting where they want to go if they don't fix this problem, because it has been an issue for them.
No doubt. Hang on a sec. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. There is, you know, an issue. Like the one part of Andy Reid's, I'll buy that a little bit, but I also think like that's asking Patrick Mahomes to be perfect, right? When he's consistently getting a rush in his face, he's gonna drift, and that's what's been happening. Like that's been a big problem for them, and they're not really establishing the run, which I'm okay with. But then you better lock down the pass blocking. Like you can drop back to throw on every down, but you can't have your quarterback happen to bail out just as routes are supposed to be coming to fruition, and then it's the scramble drill all the time. That works, and they're coached on what to do after he has to evade the pocket. But you know, it's not like the designed plays that are supposed to, you know, give everybody a shot. Mike Remmers did not look good. Let's call it what it was. That's a scary proposition in there. I mean, I'm watching the game right now. It's on NFL Network, and you know, he's had somebody back in his grill and had to escape on three consecutive plays. And this is at right now. They're down 40-24. They know that they've got to go to get down the field. But he's had to get out of there. I mean, and I thought that they were amazingly covered. Now, I should spend a little more time. I haven't had a chance to go through the all 22 this week and take a look at it. But, you know, I think we can say that, okay, he's drifting. Yeah, but because usually somebody's in his face. So you start to, you know, that starts to become a habit.
Yeah, you know, just watching the game the other day, it didn't look like there were a lot of guys open down the field. I mean, that was part of the problem, you know. But when you're covering with seven or eight, that job gets easier. So, you know, and I will take the Chiefs to task with the running game. I mean, I feel like they were okay with it the other day against the Raiders. I just feel like they didn't. They kind of gave up on it too quickly, you know? I mean, Edwards-Helaire got the ball, what, 10 times, you know, in handoff? I mean, I don't think that's enough. They've got to be a little more patient with that, a little more diligent with that, because I feel like that's one of the solutions, is to have the second and fives and second and sixes instead of second and tens. So I feel like they've been too quick, particularly when you're having problems with the passing game. One of the solutions is to run the ball a little more and try to make your way that way. So I do feel like that's been an issue for the Chiefs, that particularly against the Raiders, is that they just didn't run the ball enough, that they should be a little more patient with that.
They keep talking about taking what's given to them. How about three catches for 40 yards for Clyde Edwards-Helaire? I mean, you know, he was targeted eight times, but when they actually got him the ball, three catches turned into 40 yards. That's tremendous return from a running back. I watched a play a few plays ago here on this drive where he made a guy miss and you know, was going to be tackled at, like, the line, ended up getting, like, 12 yards. I mean, you know, he's a guy that can be a weapon, whether it's him or Le'Veon Bell. I do think the running backs are going to have to be more of the passing game, and they're going to have to get him the ball more. And Mecole Hardman's going to have to be more. He just made a nice catch in this fourth quarter drive I'm watching right here. You've pointed it out a lot, and it's been an emphasis on your questions in the Zooms about how much better they are with Sammy Watkins on the field. Not necessarily that Sammy puts up big numbers, but they're just a lot better. And what have you garnered from the responses you've got from Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and Mecole Hardman? You know, I know you've asked all those guys that question. What have you concluded is the reason why, and how do they get that back?
Well, there wasn't a lot of insight from any of those guys on this, but they can't deny the fact that, I mean, the numbers are pretty vivid. You know, last year, just taking last season, they ran the ball for almost 2 yards per carry better when he was in the lineup than when he wasn't. The QBRs, because Matt Moore played a game or two last year, so it wasn't just Mahomes. But the QBRs for the quarterbacks was around 81 on plays where he was in the game, Watkins was in the game, and about 67 on plays when he wasn't. So there's some significant difference this year. You know, the Chiefs were better on third downs. There was all kinds of statistical differences. I haven't gotten into the numbers so much for this season so far, but they weren't very good on offense last week after he went out of the game. I feel like the running game makes a difference in a couple of ways. You know, I feel like he is a pretty good blocker, but also, you know, teams are less apt to stack the box against him than they are if he's not in the lineup. So, I think those are two big things right there, that just ways that he helps out. But I feel like it's going to be a little bit of a challenge on Monday night without him, to see how this to make these fixes in the passing game that we're talking about.
I was impressed that Hardman was speaking with a lot of confidence. I know statistically speaking, he hasn't had the kind of year that a lot of people thought he would have, but it didn't seem to be from a lack of confidence based upon him answering questions the other day. What do you expect with him in there? Do the Chiefs have a legitimate number two wide receiver in Mecole Hardman?
Well, I would lean towards no, and here's why. If the Chiefs felt like he was that kind of guy, that he could take the offense where Sammy Watkins has helped take the offense, be at least as productive as Watkins, help the offense be as productive as they were when Watkins was in the game, why would the Chiefs fight so hard during the offseason to keep Sammy Watkins? And why not just cut him, take the big cap, take the cap hit, but also the big cap savings, and move on? Well, the Chiefs, you know, they have ideas about this as well, and they felt like, number one, they're just a better team than Watkins. Number two, they didn't have anybody ready to step in and take Watkins' spot. That doesn't mean that Hardman or somebody else couldn't eventually grow into that guy, but it's obvious to me from their actions, they just did not feel that way about Hardman or anyone else they've got. So that's why they wanted Watkins back so badly. So, it might go great for the Chiefs and Mecole Hardman with Watkins out, but that's not something we've seen consistently, for sure.
No, you're right. It's not. All right, we're talking to Adam Teicher here in the program from ESPN. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. They've even added extended hours during the week and have a Saturday morning walk-in clinic at Overland Park. Request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will start you with this. How many touchdowns for Le'Veon Bell this year with the Chiefs?
This year with the Chiefs? I would say he's going to play in roughly, what, they played
10.
Six.
He'll miss this one.
Nine, and... 8 or 9 he'll play. So I'll give him a 5. How about that?
Okay, we'll take 5. Is Sammy Watkins back with the Chiefs?
Monday night?
Next year.
Oh, next year. No, I think it's time for him to move on. No.
Okay. You're a Dodger fan, I believe, right, growing up in Southern California?
No. I'm an Angels guy. Oh, no. Don't say that about me. Don't insult
really?
Me like
okay.
that, okay?
All right, then I'll change it. When are the Angels back in the playoffs?
I am not confident. They can't get anything right. Their pitching is just a mess, and it's going to take forever to fix that. I'm guessing I'll take – if you're telling me it's going to be 2025, I would be happy with that.
Okay, 25. Well, I mean, the good news is you're right. They need pitching, so they'll probably go out and trade for Francisco Lindor here in the offseason. That seems to be what they do. They've needed pitching for a decade, and they've added Albert Pujols, extended Mike Trout. They grabbed, what's his name, the third baseman from the Nationals. They don't seem to understand.
You forgot the infamous Josh Hamilton signing a few years ago.
Josh Hamilton was good. Anthony Rendon, the third baseman I was trying to think of. Yeah, they've needed pitching for a decade, and they keep going out and spending big money on bats. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. All right, finally, give me your pick on the game. What happens? Score and winner.
I'll take the Chiefs 31-27. I just feel like they're a better team than they showed against the Raiders, and they'll show it on Monday night.
All right, there it is, Adam Teicher. Lock it up. He likes the Chiefs. Covering the number, I like how he's got it by 4. So you can insert the number. He's got the Chiefs minus the points, 31-27. They get the win. It's always a win for us, Adam. When you are with us, we appreciate it, my friend. Thanks so much. Have a great time covering the game, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Good stuff, friend. Talk to you later.
You're the man, Adam Teicher, brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. You can shop for your vehicle online, everything you want. Narrow down the search, all kinds of options, makes it super easy. Of course, you can see him in person at I-35 and Santa Fe. Great selection of those GMC Sierra pickup trucks. If your office is your truck, no better truck than the GMC Sierra, and nobody has a better selection. We'll do a better job of getting into that vehicle, or we'll give you a better customer experience than my guys at Brogdon. There's a reason why. They are number one. It's because they are the best. Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. I-35 in Santa Fe. Check them out online right now at robertbrogdon.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
Show me a man who doesn't love meat, and I'll show you a person that's not very happy in life.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. How many pitchers have made their first career major league start in a postseason game? The answer, none. A.J. Minns of the Braves will be the first tonight.
Wow, that's wild. That is wild. Then again, we saw Mondesi, right, make his debut in the World Series, for crying out loud. So it's not unheard of. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. That's what we were playing for. Get jazzkitchen.com if you want to get some great Cajun food tonight on your way home. Independence out by the Legends. Don't forget, the races are going on. That's okay. They're still open. They can still take care of you out there. So do not sweat that the race. It's actually the easiest time to get in and out of Jazz. Usually there's a good wait, but not when the races are going on. By the way, Adam Teicher. I love this tweet that he had. Our thanks to Adam joining us last segment. Eric Bieniemy deferred all questions about Le'Veon Bell to Andy Reid and Brett Beach, who weren't made available to answer them.
It's a good sentence.
That's the way it worked. We'll give you what you need to know. It's coming up next.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, Aaron Boone's pennant-winning walk-off homer was 17 years ago tonight. Who hit the most recent walk-off homer in a winner-take-all game? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.